Missing, nothing broken. Every I dotted, every T crossed. That's His will. Hallelujah. Genesis 1:2, Revelations 21:22. That's His will. If you ever doubt it, read them verses. He created and looked, and everything was very good. Yeah. My goodness. That's His will. For everything to be very good in our lives.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Of course, His word is the agency for us to get there. And so we want to go into His word, the bread of life. Mm-hmm. The water that quenches every thirst. There's nothing like it. My goodness. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Father, we thank You for Your word this morning. We thank You for making it rich and deliciously feeding our spirits, strengthening us for the job ahead this week and all of the weeks ahead until Jesus shall return or we'll go to be with Him. My, what a day. We thank You, we praise You, we bless You. In the name of Jesus. Everybody said, Amen. Alright. Black History Month. Got one more thing to add to what I said last time. So let me review. He is the God of reparations. We saw that with Israel. After all those years, He got them out. Got them out big time. Cleaned out Egypt. Gave them a payday, which lasted 40 years in the desert. Amen. He's a God of reparations, as long as He gets to be the reparator. Because only He can do it right. Government can't. Government has proven that over and over again. I said, and I say it again, I wish our leaders of black community had opposed school closures during COVID. Because it was predictable that black kids would be far behind, worse off than before. It was predictable. Plus, we know that other jurisdictions didn't close schools. I know I'm repeating myself, but it's important to know. Europeans didn't close your schools. And it seemed like they did just fine. I believe that black leaders should support vouchers. Because I'm convinced it'll help a whole lot of black parents who are caught. Especially if we fund schools here in Texas. I mean, you know. Because education is a way out for most of us. There's no question about that. A good quality education that gives kids options in life. Vouchers is one way. We've tried this out for decades and decades and decades. It hasn't served the black community too well. We tend to have the worst schools anyway, with the least resources, and the most social issues. Hallelujah. And I believe also that the black community should oppose wide open borders. Amen. It shouldn't be about politics, it should be about how does that help black people? Most of the folks coming in are destitute. Amen. They're poor. How does that help government resources, the resources of private agencies reaching the very many poor we already have, most of whom percentage-wise are black? Right? I mean, this is the way that leaders of black folk ought to be thinking. We got plenty of poor people here, and a whole percentage-wise, a whole bunch of them are black. If we just add more poor people, how does that help But, you know, I can at least say it. Amen. So I believe that I have the mind of God on that, on all of those points. So Black history, that's some of the things that I think would make a difference. There's a target on our backs. The devil hates Black folk. He does. That explains why we're on the bottom rung of every ladder in every society. It's supernatural. Supernaturally wicked. You know, there are two sides of supernatural. Just like a coin. There's a supernatural good and a supernatural bad. Ever since Nimrod, the gospel got to Africa last of all the continents. There's something to that. And I've taught on this before, and just to remind you, but we have to look to God. Have to go back looking to God. We've come this far by faith. Leaning on the Lord. Trusting in His holy word. He's never failed us. Amen.
Amen.
Brought us Sojourner Truth, brought us, you know, all those other folk, Abraham Lincoln, Dr. King and co. That was God. That was God. And we've stopped doing that. We lean too much on government these days. Okay, that's enough. That's enough. A word is all a wise person necessary. So let's talk more about what we're talking about in terms of the exemption from natural disasters that's available. We told you we have dominion. He made man. Let us make man in our image. I show you one scripture. Hallelujah. And let them have dominion. Let's make them victors, not victims. Give them the wherewithal to dominate. And he did. Because the Bible says he blessed them, meaning he empowered them to have dominion. And then told them, subdue everything you see. It's under your foot. Thank you, Lord. And so we talked about how to have dominion. You have to believe that you've been given dominion. Otherwise, you're not going to walk in it. Have to be convinced. And we talked about how to get convinced. Book of Acts 17. Hear the word. Meditate in it. Until it sinks deep into your heart, your spirit. So you know, this is thus saith the Lord to me. Not the person who necessarily brought it to me. This has gone beyond them. It's gone to him. And so we talked about that. Principally, you exercise dominion by speaking words of dominion. Amen. That's how the king and the queen rules. They talk. They give orders. Jesus told the wind and the waves to hush up. I like that. Sitting on my desk the other day and my stomach started to ache and, you know, I kind of ignored it and because I was, you know, in fact, I think I was studying, actually. and then I thought, how long are you going to let that go on? Lord, give me words to say. I started talking. Hey, quit now. And guess what? He did. It had to. Couldn't argue. Because I know I have dominion. Now. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So today I want to talk to you about faith and its standing. This is how dominion works. Faith and its standing. So dominion is exercised by words. Okay, and here's a question that comes up in the minds of people when we start talking about the efficacy and the power of words. Even though we know it, Every one of us knows that the people that have legitimate authority over us exercise that authority by speaking words. We know that. I mean, you know, by communicating that authority. Here you are driving at the police officer, raises your hand, says stop. You know, you stop. They're telling you something because they have authority. That's your city authority. We have divine authority. Imagine that. And so then, you know, how come it doesn't happen immediately? Well, first of all, the degree to which you are convinced that you have authority greatly impacts how quickly it happens. Amen. The degree to which there's still doubt in your head about this authority you're exercising will impact how it works. Jesus had complete, total trust in his authority, which is why when he says something, it happened immediately. I mean, we are coming up to that standard. We are coming up. The more we learn, the bolder we get. So that's a part of it. But see, every time someone says we're going to die, they don't just immediately fall down dead. But guess what? They have sown seed in death. And if they keep watering that seed, meaning they keep saying that, putting sunshine on that seed, it is growing underneath the surface. And one of these days, it's going to produce fruit, the fruit of death. And it may be untraceable because the devil is invested in making sure you can't trace it. You can't connect the dots. Because if every time somebody said, my knee is killing me, and they fell down dead, guess what? Folks are going to stop saying that. Folks will stop saying that. And this is a social media, before you know it, it'll go viral, right? You know, don't say that, because so-and-so said it, and they fell down dead. So the administrator of death makes sure to have a scheme whereby he can get his results, but at the same time, most people have no idea how it happened. Because if they knew it, they would know his number. They would have his number. That's a part of it. That's a part of it. And so the devil picks and chooses when to enforce words of death. He picks and chooses. Scripture says that. We've talked about that many times. But let me just remind you. Look at the book of, 1 Timothy, I believe it is. The devil picks and chooses. Sometimes it comes immediately. Sometimes not so immediately. Thank you, Father. Is it James? Thank you, Father. I'll find him. Let's see. It could be James. Yeah, he's a camouflager. He's a thief. Thieves steal under camouflage. No doubt about that. And so if he immediately moved on words of death, people would know it. They would quit jesting about death. Thrill me to death. I'm dying to go. Where is this scripture, Lord? What is it? The devil takes them at his will. That's what I'm looking for. So Bible students, let me know if you find it. Because I'm going to show you that, and I'm going to show you when he comes immediately. So you don't learn this in seminary school, right? You don't. You don't get into stuff like that. You just prepare your can sermon and teach it. You don't stop and look for scripture. But I'm not gonna do that. So.
2 Timothy.
Is it 2 Timothy?
2:6-7.
That could be. I thought it was in Timothy somewhere, but yeah, that's it. Thank you. Okay. So here's what the devil. Bible tells us the devil comes. The devil waits and picks his time. Okay. Verse 23. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid. Quit talking strife, all that. Yeah. Somebody gets behind you on the streets, on the highway, and starts flashing you. Don't stay there and talk about how that you. Yeah, I pay taxes too. No. That's getting into the strife. Just move over. Let them go by. Mm. Amen. Don't get in their strife. Mm. Move over. I just did that this morning, actually. Flashing lights. And I was going to speed limit. In the old days, I would say, bless God, why don't you make me? I have a right to be on this road. I pay taxes. Go around me, fly, but I'm not moving. But I've learned better since then. You just move away. Move over. Let them go by. All right. So I've also tried all of that. Because these are the things that put you in a position, including speaking words of the curse, put you in a position that the devil, verse 26, that they may recover themselves out of the position that they put themselves in, out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. So by this time, maybe 10 years later, 20 years later, pouncing. But you can't connect the dots. Now, let me show you sometimes when it comes immediately. Okay? And so you got to know how your enemy operates, right? You know, otherwise you'd almost lose battles to him. Mark chapter 4, you know that parable. Jesus said this is the granddaddy parable of all of them. Verse 14, the sower sowed the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately. Sometimes, book of Mark chapter 4, Mark 4, 14 and 15. Sometimes he comes immediately. Why? So that the word will not take root in your heart. But if you speak words of the curse, he wants those words to take root in your heart. Which is why he'll buy this time, and then pounce at his will. So we gotta get clever. We're not unaware of the devices of the enemy. Amen. Words invite the devil or invite God. And words is how you exercise your dominion. Somebody say, yeah, but. Didn't John 16:33 say that, you know, in this world you'll have tribulation? Isn't the fires all of that part of tribulation? Yeah. So let's look at it. Because evidently you stop reading too soon. Amen. John 16. In this world you'll have tribulation. Now, first of all, have tribulation does not mean these things. John 16:33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. See that? You went right past the peace part. And concentrate on the tribulation part. And as soon as you got to tribulation, you stop reading. You say that you may have peace. What does that mean? Nothing missing. Nothing broken, everything in its place. Every I dotted, every T crossed. Well, wouldn't that include times when the devil brings all sorts of things against you, tribulation? Of course it would. In the word, you shall have tribulation. Huh? Now, have tribulation doesn't mean that it'll make you a victim. Have tribulation means that you have to do stuff. Things that you have to deal with. Things that you have to be bothered with. Because you live in an imperfect world. Because the devil's got things messed up. It wasn't that way at the beginning. It was very good. Amen. If Adam and Eve had done what was supposed to have done, it would still be very good. And there wouldn't be any tornadoes, any wildfires, none of that. But in this present world that you live in, no, you will have tribulation. Meaning you'll be bothered by them. Does not mean that it will take you in, make you a victim. That's the first point. Have tribulation, not mean defeated by it, but things that you have to deal with, things that you have to confront, things that you have to bother with, which you wouldn't have to if we lived back in the days of the garden. Secondly, that's not all he said, right? In the world you have tribulation, but, folks don't get that far. They stop at the tribulation and then quit and then make a doctrine out of it. He says, you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Why? Because I have overcome it. And my overcoming it is you overcoming it. My victory is your victory. If you'll take it. My goodness. That's the whole situation. So don't stop reading at tribulation. Be mindful that he said, peace. I'll give you my peace. Oh my. Okay, look at the book of Romans. Look at something else the Bible says about tribulation. Talk about the fact that people say, well, yeah, well, fires and all kinds of stuff like that. That's just part of the tribulation. Jesus said we would tribulate. No, he didn't say it quite like that. There would be a bother. But he has overcome them on our behalf. And in his name, we overcome them. Look at what Romans 8 says. Woo, glory. Uses the same word too. 34. Romans 8:34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ, the anointed one, that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. I tell you what, we got it made when Jesus prayed for us. Glory to God. Not like your cousin so-and-so praying for you. Who said he would pray for him and forgot. As soon as he said it. Who glory. And then he says, who shall separate us from the love of the anointed one? Shall tribulation, see that? Huh? Tribulation? No. Distress? No. Persecution? Famine? Nakedness? No. And you keep reading, as it's written, for thy sake we are killed. That doesn't mean we are, you know, slaughtered. It means we are in danger of death. You know, again, talking about all the tribulations and the trials and the stuff that come at us. It's not that we have to deal with. That's what he's talking about. All the day long, we are counted as sheep. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Not just conquerors, more than. In all what things? In all tribulations, in all fires, earthquakes, and all the rest of it. Thank you, Father. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, the Bible says, greater is he that is in you. Huh? Than he, or what? And if you read that scripture, he's been talking about the Antichrist. Who is Mr. Bad? I mean, you want anything bad and dangerous and all, it's all in him. And we are greater than he is. Greater is he that's in us. And he that's in us makes us greater than who he that's in the world. And what that's in the world. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Of course, Jesus demonstrated how you handle tribulation, didn't he? In the boat? Would you say that was tribulation? Of course. person taking a nap all of a sudden, you know, wind and you know, wave kind of waves. He sure doesn't want to do. How come we don't do it today? How come we don't do it today when tribulation shows up? So I'm saying, well, Jesus did say we'll suffer tribulation. He didn't say it quite like that. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, but it all comes about by faith, and it takes spiritual standing to make it work. This is why it doesn't work for too many people. So, let's talk about standing. Faith and its standing. Each individual believer in California could have helped themselves by speaking words of dominion and commanding the fire to stay away from their properties. Each individual believer could have done it. Just like those disciples could have spoken to those waves and wind that day. Because remember that this fire was driven by winds. Huh? And Jesus has shown us that you can talk to the wind. I mean, to me, it's just so plain. Just so plain. They could have. Okay? But they could not have necessarily done that for the city, for their neighborhood. Unless they had standing. So then the concept of standing in law, standing is the right to bring a lawsuit because of its effects on you. Potential or otherwise, the right to bring a lawsuit. So in the realm of the spirit, standing is the right to take on an issue with your faith. Amen. Your faith will always work for you because it has automatic standing where you're concerned. That's if you're working. That's if you're working, you know. You can believe, but don't put that belief to work and it does nothing for you. Like having money in the bank, but never making a withdrawal of it. Which I have said many, many times, is one of the biggest problems with Christians. We believe, we just don't activate it. Your faith will automatically work for you because it always has standing. How many times did Jesus tell people, "Thy faith has made thee whole"? In fact, look at Mark 5. Mark chapter 5. You remember the woman who washed your blood, right? Mm-hmm. If you ask most people, they'll tell you the power of God made her whole. And then that would be ultimately, you know, what it was. But Jesus called attention to her faith. Even though he admitted when he was touched that virtue left him, right? You know this story. We don't have to read all that. Remember he was in the crowd and woman sneaked up and touched him and he knew. He said, "Who touched me?" And the disciples are like, "Master, what do you mean who touched you? Everybody's touching you." And he said, No. I felt a different touch because virtue, power left me. I have to tell. And that's what did it. But after she told him what she had gone through, all of that, when it was all said and done, he said, in verse number, where am I in chapter 4? When I tried to go to Mark 5, right? When it was all said and done, in verse 34, and he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole." He emphasized her faith, not the virtue that left him. So your faith always has standing where you're concerned. Okay? But your faith will not always work for other people unless they give you standing. Oh yeah. That's one thing we haven't known about faith. We have prayed for people and didn't care much what they were thinking. Some people wanted to die. Some people enjoyed being sick because of all the sympathy they were getting, all the flowers, all the attention they were getting. They didn't want to get well necessarily. I mean, that's harsh to think about, but that's real. Your faith must have standing in order for it to work for other people. Okay, look at Mark chapter 7, right there. And then we'll come back to 5 again. I'll bring your attention to a story we've read many times. The Greek woman, verse 26, Syrophoenician, not a member not in the covenant, but believed, had faith, came to Jesus. Huh? Looked like Jesus insulted her, but he didn't. Thank you, Lord. Look at verse 25. Go back. Look at verse 25. Just one word in there. For a certain woman whose young daughter, I've read it many times. This time around, my attention was drawn to that word young when I was studying about standing. Parents have standing for their young children. That's why you make sure to mention young daughter. But when they get grown, we're supposed to raise them right so when they get grown, they can stand on their faith. Look at Hebrews 5. Look at Hebrews 5. Let me show you that principle. Hebrews chapter 5. Faith and its standing. Your faith automatically has standing for you, not necessary for other people. Which is why in a natural disaster, you can help yourself, but you might not be able to help other people. Hebrews chapter 5. Here's a principle, which relates to having standing. Look at verse number 12. For the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk all over again, so to say, than a strong meat. So God expects you to grow in his things. Expects you to get to the point where you can stand on your own faith, not on your parents' faith. But while you are a child, your parent has standing to come to God on your behalf. That's why it tells us back here, for a certain woman whose young daughter. It didn't say whose 45-year-old daughter. Okay? Now, look at chapter 5. Let me show another one. Something that I've read this story many, many times, didn't pick up on that. Okay? Romans chapter 5. Look at verse number 23. This is about Jairus. Verse 22. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. And he besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter. Not my grown daughter. He had standing to come to Jesus on behalf of his little daughter. Hallelujah. Amen. So your faith has standing for you, has standing for children under your care. Children, nieces, nephews. But it means how your faith doesn't have standing for the whole city. Not necessarily. Amen. Now, look at verse number, look at number 42. It gives us an indication of what the Bible means by little. Okay? So it says Jairus over there in verse number 23, it says little daughter, okay? And so then this woman with the issue of blood came and interrupted Jairus, you know, that way. At the end of it all, Jesus ends up going to Jairus' house, and when he gets there and so forth, if you look at verse number 42, and straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12. gives us some indication of what little daughter means. Amen. And I thought about it and I thought, 12, that seems pretty old. But it's not in the activity. It's not in the age of the child. Because the child who's 2 years old already knows. It can be selfish. Huh? I've seen 2 year olds say no to their parents. Give me that. No. I'm like, what? Drop that out now. For that thing becomes a master. Woo! I almost said, give me standing to help you out. Oh boy. So that gives an indication. Gives an indication. And then look at the book of Luke. Okay? By the way, did you know? Look at this first. Look at the book of Luke. Luke chapter number 2. Okay? Luke chapter 2. And this is about when Jesus was Jesus went back. When his parents were going back home, he went back to Jerusalem. Another occasion. And parents went a day's journey, didn't see him, then came back to look for him. And if you look at verse 42, talks about what he was doing. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child, the child Jesus. So the age 12 is associated with being a child in Scripture. And did you know that the age of 13 is when Jewish boys and girls have the bar mitzvah? The boys have the bar mitzvah and the girls have what's called the bat mitzvah. At 13. And that is a coming of age ceremony where you go from child to adult at 13. So what that's telling us, before the age 13, parents have standing for their children. They can pray for them and all of that. But after that, you should have taught that child all those years so that now they can stand on their own. Isn't that interesting that that's when people start to have, you know, people talk about teenagers and their, you know, rebellion and all that. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? The scripture has indications about this the whole time. That's why most parents start to have issues with their kids, right? When they become teenagers. Unless you've taught them well enough to, you know, you've driven that foolishness out of their heart all those years. With the rod of correction. Oh, yeah. With much love. Of course. Of course. Interesting. Look at Numbers 13. Israel did not give Caleb and Joshua standing. They did not. As a result, they ended up wandering in the desert for 40 years when that was not necessarily in the plan. Standing, quite involved in the exercise of your faith. Your faith always has automatic standing for your concern. But when it comes to other people, thank you. Am I in the right book here? Yeah. Numbers 13 verse 1. This is when they sent spies. Verse 2. Send spies. They don't go look the land. And so Moses did. Verse 27. The spies came back with reports. Oh yeah. It's just like God said. It's a good land. Look at the proof of the fruit. Look how gigantic these grapes are. Very fertile land. Oh, but here's something God didn't know, Moses. Verse 28. Nevertheless, that's that but. Nevertheless, the people are strong. So strong, even God can't handle them, Moses. The people are strong. They're dwelling in the land. The walls, oh man, I don't think God has even seen the wall. This wall is tall. And then, of course, the people themselves are giants. Moses, you have never seen people this big before. I don't think even God ever has. So, yes, it's a land full of milk and honey, but no, we can't take it. We just can't take it. The Lord made a mistake. I think he meant to lead us someplace else. Mm. Where there are ordinary people there or something. No wall cities or nothing. Mm. Look at verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up once and possess the land. But the man, verse 31, the man said, no. Don't listen to Caleb. He's out of his mind. And he was. It was into the mind of God. Look what it said. We be not able to go up against these people. They are stronger than we. They are stronger than God. That's what they were saying. Look at verse 6. And Joshua, of the next chapter, chapter 14, verse 6. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, they rent their clothes, and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is exceedingly good. If, or you could say, since the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land, give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord. Don't fear the people of the land or the walls. They are bread for us. Glory to God. Their defense is departed from them. The Lord is with us. Fear them not. But the congregation denied Joshua and Caleb standing. They have faith. They were willing to go in. And guess what? They did go in, except it was 40 years later. Yeah, they did go in. But had they had standing, had they had agreement, that's part of how you get standing when it comes to prayer for other people. Agreement. Had they had agreement from Israel, they would have walked right in and possessed the land. Like they did 40 years later. So the 10 spies and all of Israel did not give faith standing to Joshua. Now, here's an instance where sometimes God intervenes because of, for your sake, and sometimes for the sake of the gospel, or both, even in the absence of standing. You have to know that we talk about faith and there are rules to faith and so forth, but God reserved himself the right to make exceptions. For example, you remember how Saul got born again? Is that how you got born again? He saw light from the Book of Acts chapter 9. Saw light from heaven, all that, and talked to Jesus. That's not how everybody gets born again. That was an exception to the rule. And so in some cases, look at the Book of Acts chapter 27. So Paul has been arrested, been tried, about to be executed, really. And so as a Roman citizen, he exercises his right of appeal to Caesar. And so he's on his way to Caesar, to see Caesar. That's the background, chapter 27. And if you look at verse 9, and when much time was spent, and when sailing was dangerous, we went by boat, Moses, of course, because the facts was now already passed. That is the day of Pentecost. The day of atonement, rather. Paul admonished the folks he was with, the captain of the ship, all of those guys. And he said unto them, verse 10, sirs, I perceive, the Lord spoke to him, I perceive that this voyage is going to be with hurt and much damage, so let's not do it. Nevertheless, it comes that word again. Remember the spy said, yeah, the land is, fruitful, but nevertheless, here comes the nevertheless. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and said, oh, this guy's just a preacher. What does he know about saving? They did not give him standing. That's what I'm trying to tell you. The Lord moved to help him and help them. They were not willing to agree with his assessment and give him standing. Because they thought they knew better. We're walking by sight. It says in verse 12, and because the haven, the harbor looked just fine, nothing was commodious, everything looked calm, cool, and collected. So they said, well, what's the point of us not sailing? Everything looks just great. But Paul perceived that it wasn't necessarily what it looked like. There's going to be trouble ahead. They did not give him standing. Verse 13, and when the south wind began to blow softly, even the wind is blowing softly. What should we say when the wind is blowing softly? It's not commodious. Oh, but look at verse 14. But not long after that, there arose against it a tempestuous wind. Typhoon. Hurricane, you might say. And they wish they had listened. They wish they had given him counsel. They had given him standing. Verse 18. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest. The next day. So, they've been in this thing for at least one day. Verse 19. And the third day. It's been 3 days now. Look at verse 20. Many days. It's getting worse. Now they're really wishing that help. They're giving him standing. Agreed with him. To get deliverance from this natural disaster. That's what I'm trying to point out to you. You can help yourself. You can always help others. Verse 21. After long abstinence, fasting, and so forth, God, look at verse number 22. And now I exhort you to be in good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, in spite of the fact you didn't give me standing. This is one of the instances where God supernaturally gets involved because of Paul, right? And because of the gospel. Okay? Because Paul had to go to Rome to preach there. And he wasn't going to be taken out by some tempest. Now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Okay? For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, who said to me, fear not, Paul, you must be brought before Caesar. Okay? That was the kingdom purpose. And lo, God has given thee all them that sail with you. Huh? That's like God giving you all of those who are in your neighborhood against a natural disaster. If they give you standing, your authority, your dominion can be exercised for their benefit. In this case, God supernaturally got involved because of the gospel involved, the gospel purpose involved. And they began to listen to him. And things worked out, but you can read the rest of it. If you look at number 27, verse 27, now they're talking about the 14th night. This has been drawn out. Okay? And if you go through to verse 44, and the rest, some on board, some on broken, the ship ended up being broken up. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe in land. This account is also part of why, when you've heard me say, if I were on that airplane, it wouldn't go down. Because Paul was in this situation, it didn't end up as terribly as it could have or should have. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, here's the situation and of where that a man anointed by the Holy Ghost to charge, exercise his dominion over nature. Talk about the book of Mark chapter 4. Talk about Jesus. When I said amen, I was talking about Jesus. Because he was a man. The God-man. He emptied himself of God's attributes without emptying himself of God's essence. He remained God, but never did anything as God. And here is a man who knows his authority, gets up on the bow of a boat, and tells the waves and the wind what to do. He had standing. When Jesus said, "Peace be still," it worked for him because he had standing for himself. Not just because of the disciples, because they were in fear, not in faith. Left them alone, they would have drowned that day. No doubt about it. But he had standing. He had to do with him, and he got up and he exercised it. The storm was a mountain that day. It was Jesus' mountain, not just theirs. If it had just been theirs, it would not have worked like it did. Because they were in strife with Jesus. They accused him of not caring for them. They were in fear. None of that would have worked out for them at all. But fortunately, they had Jesus on board. And just like the case with Paul, for the sake of the gospel and for the sake of a man of God, nature had to bow its knee. Thank you, Father. Look at Mark chapter 11 as we wind this down. Mark chapter 11, verse 22, 23. Okay, I want to show you something. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Have faith in God, for verily," verse 23, "I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain," "whosoever shall say unto this mountain," not every mountain, you don't have standing to talk to every mountain. Amen? Oh yeah. You don't have standing to talk to mountain in my life unless I give you standing. Amen? You don't have standing to indiscriminately tell mountains where to go. It doesn't work like that. You don't have standing for that. But if that mountain is in the way of a mission that God has commissioned you on, you have every right to tell it where to go. Faith and its standing. You can't say to my mountain anything and it work unless through a prayer of agreement. See, if it's a prayer of agreement, I'm giving you standing in my situation. If I don't do that, it's not going to work. Unless I agree with you, your faith will have no standing to help me. Unless you agree with me, my faith will have no standing to help you. Amen. You cannot use your faith to impose even good on anybody without their spiritual cooperation. And when I talk about cooperation, I'm not talking about just wish. I'm going to talk about, go ahead and pray, let's see what happens. Attitude. They have to desire what you're about to pray. Not just wish it and say, it won't hurt. Go ahead and say whatever you're going to say, let's see what that helps. No, don't work like that. What things ever you desire when you pray, believe that you, not what things ever you wish. These are things that have frosted our faith. So like I said, every believer in the Palisades neighborhood who knew what we're talking about could have stood up and helped themselves. And if they had the standing of the community, could have helped the community. Say, now, how about that work? The mayor of the city called you and said, come pray for us. The mayor of the city were to call a minister of the gospel and say, come pray. That mayor has authority over the city. That's giving you standing. This is why these things don't work like they should work. Because there are certain rules and laws we have to follow. We are really supposed to pray with people, not necessarily for people. Amen. Don't think you can just use your faith and pray for people, even when they're not even really interested in what you're praying about. It just doesn't work that way. If that were the case, God would make everybody born again and go to heaven tomorrow. Because that's what he wants. That's his desire. You can't put your desire on people without their spiritual cooperation. So look at James 5, and we'll close with this. Because that's what it said. Well, but it says pray for one another. Well, it's not. That's not all it said. That's what you get if you just skim the surface of the scripture. If you study, you get more revelation about it. So let's go there. James chapter 5, pray for one another. First of all, before we get to that part, James 5:13. It says, if any among you afflicted, let him pray. Is any merry, let him sing song. Is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. See, when you call for the elders of the church, you are giving them standing. Amen. You are giving them standing. Most of the people Jesus prayed for came to him. They came to him. They came and gave him standing. The Greek woman came to Jesus. Jairus came to Jesus. Okay? So when you call for those elders, you are giving them standing. The elders just, you know, the elders just visiting church members, and it might not work because that church member might not really be all that interested. Because maybe they didn't really want you there anyway. I mean, all of these things that affect spiritual realities, and we don't know much about them. Maybe they're just being polite and just tolerating you. You know, yeah, go ahead and pray, deacon, you know. That won't work. So it says, and we talked about it earlier in terms of the authority, whether and the prayer of faith, as if they say, and do even more than that. If they have committed any sin, be forgiving him. Okay. And then it says, verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another. See, so he didn't just say pray for one another. He said, confess your faults one to another. In that process of confessing your faults to one another before you do the praying, you would have given them standing. Huh? Because you would have shared with them what's bugging you, all of that. So in the context of that, the statement still remains scripturally accurate that we're not supposed to pray for people near as much as we're supposed to pray with them. In agreement with them. Amen. My. So, time's up. We'll end it there. So we have authority. We have dominion. We're not victims. We are victors. God absolutely wants to show Goshen. To separate, to show a separation, to show that he is real in the realities of our lives. That this is not just a Sunday morning thing. It's an everyday Monday to through the entire week. And so I encourage you to exercise your faith and not be cowed by news of some natural disaster. You are a Goshenite, glory to God, exempt from the curse, blood bought. And give God a chance to show that this is not a religion, it's a relationship with the living God. Not some God somebody carved out of some piece of wood and bows down to. Or clay or stone or whatever it is. But a living God. I tell you, I don't know about you, but I mean to take my dominion. I mean to exercise my authority. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We bless you. We give you thanks. Oh, thank you. Thank you. For crowning us with honor and glory. That we are anointed ones. Little anointed ones. After our Master Jesus, the Anointed One, that we have dominion, that we can exercise it for our benefit and the benefit of others if they will give us standing. And that through us, you can show your power and the reality of your existence and of the gospel. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. That these truths sink deep into our spirits and govern our lives. We praise you, Father, and we bless you. In the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. My friend, do you know Jesus? If you don't know Jesus, today is a great day to do so. He's been waiting for this moment. He died for you, shed his blood for you. Been knocking at your door the whole time. You've been looking for peace. If you don't have peace, he is the Prince of Peace. I don't mind telling you, he's the reason why, his absence in your life is the reason why you don't have peace. If you look around your life and you ought to be happy, you got some money and this, that, and the other, but it's just not. I'm telling you, that's the missing piece in your life. You bring everything together and make it make sense. Receive him today. Don't put it off. Don't put it off. Do it now. Say, Jesus, come into my heart. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I receive your sacrifice on Calvary, as having been made on my behalf. Thank you for shedding your blood for me. Thank you, Father, for sending Jesus to the cross. I hereby make Jesus my Lord and my Savior. Fill me, Father, with your precious Holy Spirit. I receive my prayer language. Lead me to a church that will teach me that I am a victor, not a victim. That I have dominion. And I can exercise it too. Thank you for doing it, Father. In the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Pray, if you pray that prayer, he is not a man that he should lie. He has done exactly what he promised. And as you yield to him, as you do what he says, you will begin to enjoy the abundant life. That's the best way to put it. You will. You will. Thank you for praying that prayer. If you're anywhere around Austin, come see us. Well, we're here. There's room, plenty of room here for you. If you're too far, meaning more than an hour's drive, more than 100 miles. I was driving. Let's put it there. I was driving. Keep listening because we'll be back. Same place. Okay? I will love you. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Hallelujah. Glory.